This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That would turn your nose into a bloody mess, and he delivered some puffs. Surprising too that it was puffs, right? Kleenex is just a market leader. The folks over at Kleenex got to be ticked about this. Got to be very upset.
Is that one of those items that you always just call by the wrong name? You say, "Go get me the Kleenex."
No, there's a term for it. They've become so ubiquitous. And when is Ubiquity Hour coming for you? Next show you've got on Friday. Maybe one to two can be the ubiquity hour. It's so ubiquitous that it has taken on the generic term, if that makes sense. Like, I'm trying to think of another one. Kleenex is always my go-to. I forget what it's called when that happens, but their market share becomes so dominant in a specific product that that's what people actually call it, even though technically it's a brand of tissue, you'd call it. It'd be like instead of calling, "Give me some paper towels," "Hey, get me some Bounty," or something like that. You know what I'm talking about?
Okay. Yeah.
So that's kind of the bit there. Shout out to him. I've got one other thing we're dealing with today, and I think this might actually be the dumbest thing hampering today's show and the most relatable to some people. We have the computer mouse in here that I use. Has like the typical rotating mouse wheel, you know, you scroll down with it. Is that how you scroll down most of the time? I must have aggressively scrolled yesterday because it stopped working. And this is not exactly a new mouse. It's probably a decade old, if I had to guess. It stopped working, and now I have been in vain scrolling to nothing because I somehow broke the scroller. And so then you got to go over to the arrow bar, drag the mouse down, or you got to hit page up and page down, which nobody does anymore. I'm going to tell you right now, Don, it might be the biggest hindrance to this entire show today. It might be the biggest problem that we're going to have to surmount here. That's just a fact.
I had mouse problems with this mouse that had to get replaced a couple of months ago because you could not use the roller.
Yeah.
And it gets
annoying.
Got very frustrating.
You go automatically
to the audio editing.
You go automatically. Well, yeah, for that, that pinches it and closes it. If it was an audio editing situation, I'd be completely dumb. But it's one of those things you don't know how valuable it is or how much you rely on it till you can't rely on it anymore. The Rodgers to the Steelers thing, too, I would say, is also for me going to underscore, I think it underscores how desperate they are, frankly. And I think we need to go back to this. You got to remember, they are not his first choice. I just saw Mike DeFabo retweet something from, I want to say, a Vikings beat writer about the meetings and discussions they had about Rodgers. It's just so obvious that he wanted to be there and that he's the Steelers, or he's the second choice here. They're the second choice, excuse me, for him. Like, Fake John and Robinson tweeted in and said he thinks that they actually did want Fields back, but that they overvalued their own name brand and thought that would bring him back. That's plausible. It also would tie in nicely, if that's true, that Fields just really did not want them when they did want him. It would tie in nicely to the idea that as much as the Steeler brand, everyone thinks, right, is this unimpeachable heritage thing in the NFL that is always going to be relevant, that's always going to be right near the top of the league, for players in real time, in the real world, it doesn't hold the same luster or appeal that it used to. I think you're seeing that. I think if Rodgers and the Steelers, if he wanted this to be a done deal very early on in this process because they were his A1 pick, it would have been. Like, you would not have even heard about the Vikings. You'd have basically heard it leaked out somehow that Rodgers really just wants to come play for the Steelers and the rest is just details. And I think they're desperate enough for him that even though now that there's no other realistic landing spot for him, he'd have to hope for a midseason injury or retirement or what, I guess go quarterback the Browns, I don't know. Even though you would think his leverage is killed, I think he probably still has more over them because they're desperate for him. They signed Mason Rudolph and they clearly did not pay him a number that suggests we are comfortable with you being our starter. So even though Rodgers has no other seats left really to sit down at in this game of musical chairs, he still has them kind of over the barrel here. I don't think he's going to have to take any kind of discount. If anything, I think Russ being off the market now, Rodgers could say, how about you knock it up there by another million or two? If he wanted to, I mean, because that's how desperate they appear for him.
Yeah, they're really the only match that is still left out there, and that's if you had any belief that Russell Wilson was a thing. Russell Wilson's return was a thing, which it did not seem like, and it also seems like it was probably a sigh of relief for people in that building that Russell Wilson went elsewhere.
Just so he would stop calling them?
And particularly the offensive coordinator.
If you're a Giants fan, how do you sell that to yourself that he's probably got the inside track to be your starter? That would be very weird.
I don't think I know it's a Giants discussion here more than the Steelers. I don't think it rules out them still taking a quarterback.
Oh no, it definitely doesn't. And then if you're that quarterback, oh, here you come in with Mr. Unlimited and Jameis. Good luck learning the ropes in the NFL with those two in that room with you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that the Italian version of Duck Hodges is any part of the Giants' future, so Tommy Cutlets may get moved on if Shedeur Sanders is the name that they call at number three.
What would Sill have said? That's anti-Italian discrimination if they kick him out of that room? Got to respect Columbus Day. Brandon has been waiting patiently. Hello, Brandon.
Gentlemen, how's it going today?
Good, man. What's up?
Hey, I just want to quickly jump off the Steelers. You know, we've been talking about them ever since free agency started. We thought Rodgers was going to sign a day or two after that. We've been talking about it ever since. I want to get y'all's thoughts on today's rumor that the Browns are going to be trading for Dak Prescott and the Cowboys are going to go ahead and take Shedeur at number two.
I have not heard that rumor. Where is that one? Is that one trending on X, formerly known as Twitter?
It's trending on X, formerly known as Twitter. I guess some radio guy in Cleveland put it out there and said he has a very good source in Cleveland with this information.
Tremendous information. Interesting, Brandon. I've heard nothing about that. Dak has a ridiculous number this year. I don't even have to look it up on SpotTrack. How would that one? You want to talk about needing to get fake John's cap expertise in here for that pie in the sky idea. You know what rumor I did hear from Cleveland radio this morning? One of their hosts on that big morning show over there thinks that there's a real inside track for Kenny Pickett to be the starting quarterback.
Although he refused to say yes. He never said no.
Oh, no. He was put to the, he was put in a corner by our big friend up there, and he refused to actually commit to it.
And he was like a rabid Wolverine in that corner trying to work his way out of it.
No, that's why they call him the Slippery Wizard up there, because he tries to worm his way out of those situations. It's the PM team, Donnie Football and Malzi. Pony actually battled through it yesterday. I think he was under the weather the last half of the show or thereabouts, so he's out today trying to recover. I'm not sick, Donnie, but I'm not healthy sounding. Is that the best way I would describe this? If somebody asked me, do you feel sick, I would say no. I think I got allergies starting. I think it's allergy season. I think we got to pop the allergy pills again. My nose is running, like I said earlier, like I have just been on an all-night bender with like Aerosmith or something like that. Or the Rolling Stones. Me and Keith Richards hanging out. doing only the finest illicit chemicals. So if I sound ridiculous or if you're watching on YouTube and I look ridiculous, that's my bad. Nothing I can do about it. Same for the people saying, damn dog, put a hat on watching on YouTube. The glare is killing me. Sorry. Forgot the hat. I actually agree with that sentiment. I could put my headphone bag over my head. Let's see how that works right now. I could like tug it under the headphones here. Hold on. There we go. You think this looks better, Don? It's like a kind of a Marv Albert looking toupee.
Yeah, I didn't think of that at first, but now that I'm looking, I can see it.
All right, see, I'm gonna keep this on and see if this helps it out. That's my big thing that I'll do for the listener, because I care about the listener. Mike Florio in 15 minutes. Jared Jones, an update on his health in a half hour. There is something about the Jared Jones update that makes me nervous, a comp to another pitcher that makes me nervous. I'll tell you who that is at 3:45 or so. JJ is on 93.7 The Fan as we talk about the continuing, it seems, inevitability of Aaron Rodgers ending up in black and gold this year and how that makes you feel. What's up, JJ?
Hey, how are you?
Good, man. What's going on?
I just wanted to, I really don't want to get into the Stiller stuff. I do hope Aaron Rodgers comes, but I didn't know if you guys heard St. Francis is going from D1.
Yeah, we talked about D3. This yesterday. What do you? Yes.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
I will answer this. Did you call Austin Bechtold's show last night? I know he did big talk about this last night. If you missed the Austin Bechtold program, you missed a lot. Sorry about that. Did not mean to hit him off the air there. It means that you're going to see this more and more from lower conference schools, I think, low majors. I don't think you're going to see it all the time. I don't think it's going to become some sort of epidemic, but if you don't have NIL, you won't be able to compete. That is my 10-second answer. Also, teams are all trying to get these new NIL deals in under the gun. I think there's a judge in California who's going to make a ruling that might allocate like $20.5 million for like disbursement across all programs. And that's going to be weird. You know what's going to happen here? The Big East is going to end up ruling college basketball again, Donnie, because there's a bunch of no football schools there that are going to be able to plow like $12 million into a basketball team. If you miss the Big East being college basketball's sort of preeminent power, get ready, because that's coming again. That is coming down the pike. Angry Bob on The Fan to talk to Happy Mulsey. Hello, Angry Bob.
Good afternoon, sir. I absolutely despise the way that Aaron Rodgers is pretty much holding the Steelers hostage with this quarterback situation. I was wondering about one other possible end-around deal that they might be able to make.
Okay.
From some YouTube videos and whatnot, I heard that the Falcons are pretty desperate to deal Kirk Cousins.
I don't think that they are, and I wouldn't want him because they had to pay him that roster bonus. I want to say it was about 11 days ago. He had a $10 million bonus kick in. I really don't think he's going anywhere.
Right. Oh, man.
Would you really want Kirk Cousins? You know what? I said Rodgers is only appealing in the right setting.
Rodgers, absolutely.
Rodgers, this pains me to say this. It pains me to say this, Angry Bob. Rodgers is better than Cousins. Cousins, you want to talk about a guy that needs to be in a very specific environment, I think, to thrive. Kirk Cousins in a dome with a good coordinator in a situation where he doesn't have to play outside very much. Like, I do not trust Kirk Cousins at all outside of that situation. I thought he was just – whenever you hear somebody say, I was going down the rabbit hole on YouTube videos – and I thought of another possibility. Also, he said Rodgers is holding the Steelers hostage. You ever seen Blazing Saddles, Donnie?
I have.
You know, in our hero, Sheriff Bart or whatever, he's holding himself hostage to get out of there. He's got his own fingers pointed at his head, and the townsfolk are so stupid, they don't know what's going on. The Steelers are not being held hostage. They are allowing themselves, they're holding themselves hostage. If they really wanted to, they could say, listen, this is going to be a bridge year. I think most fans, unlike when the Pirates did it in 2016 and people were like rightly freaking out, even though they had come off three really good years and maybe they thought had earned a little benefit of the doubt, the Steelers could just say, listen, we are building towards next year. The draft is here. We know we don't have a quarterback. Mason Rudolph's the one-year stopgap, and then he might become the backup next year. We got a lot of comp picks. Our fans are smart. Our fans know this. And move on from there. They're allowing this to happen. They're the ones who are telling Aaron Rodgers and sending off signals to Aaron Rodgers, we really want you to be our quarterback. No one's holding them at gunpoint here. And Rodgers certainly is not. He is merely reacting normally like anyone would when they get the sense that a team would like to bring him along. Now, he's doing it on his timetable, but he is not holding them hostage. They are allowing this scenario to play out exactly the way it has. Joseph is on the fan. Hello, Joseph.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
Big-time listener. Hey, so listen, I've been a big Mason Rudolph fan. I called in a couple years ago when he was on fire. I mean, the truth of the matter is, what are we excited about a 41-year-old quarterback, Aaron Rodgers? I mean, literally. Put freaking Mason Rudolph in it. Let's get a number one draft pick and a quarterback. Let's get somebody to groom over the next year.
That's what I just said. You can just do the same thing with Mason Rudolph and not spend the money on Aaron Rodgers, and you'd get, I think, largely the same. I think those two would be no more than if they played the whole season. I think you would probably get at most a two-game difference in your record. I think that's what you would get. I think the peak for Rodgers is maybe three-game. The peak for either guy would be, and I don't know if I feel good saying this about Rudolph, he was not that good in Tennessee. Probably 11-6 with Rodgers if he like somehow has turned back the clock and has found the fountain of youth. What's the peak for Rudolph? Maybe 10-7. If you get like that last three games version of him more often than not, yeah, you could go 10-7. Schedule's hard on paper.
And I think
the low end is 7-10, realistically. Like, we keep laughing and saying they'll never have a losing season, but realistically, the floor for either guy is probably 7-10.
Well, that's also why I am more prone to just saying, you know what, go forward with Rudolph and build yourself up for 2026. Like, have that be your plan as to, you know, against trying to take another bite out of this thing. Because I think the floor for Rudolph is lower than what it is with Rodgers.
He's not as good as Rodgers. I think we need to put that out there very emphatically so we don't sound ridiculous here.
Which is one of the reasons why I want to go ahead with it. I think the floor for Rodgers with the Steelers is probably 9-8. I think it's right back where they always are.
If I thought he had more mobility, I think I would feel marginally better about this, but I just think his legs are shot. I think it's like a boxer. The last thing to go is the punch, but the last thing for him to go is the arm and the brain, but he doesn't have the legs, I think, to do the special stuff anymore. We'll see what Mike Florio thinks about all this next. Mike has, I think at times, he's had a bit of an adversarial. Is that fair? Mike has been a critic, I think, of Rodgers off the field. I think that's the fair way to put it. Very critical of Rodgers off the field. He seems to certainly be leading the charge that Steelers fans should be excited about this when it comes to the on-field stuff. We'll talk to him about it next now that this appears more inevitable than ever. PM team, no Pony today. He's battling off an illness that seems to be running through the Filippone household, so we hope everyone's on the mend there ASAP. I merely am getting the first bout of allergies. I think I've come to the conclusion of the season, so sniffling my way through 4 hours, but it beats digging ditches, doesn't it? Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk on the hotline right now. Fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And Mike is brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding, your hometown roofing expert. Mike, it appears now that we can all just be prepared to welcome our new quarterbacking overlord, Aaron Rodgers. It appears to be now truly, as you said earlier in the week, a matter of when, not a matter of if. For Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers, this union of two I would call Tiffany brands in recent NFL history.
Yeah, it sure seems that way. And this is typical for Aaron Rodgers, where nobody knows exactly what he's going to do, when he's going to do it, how he's going to do it. He seems to like that. That's his thing. He builds mysteries and nobody knows anything about what he's going to do. And anybody who says they know what he's going to do is getting bad information. And I don't buy all that. I think he's naive to believe that he has this hold on his entire representation team, that no one ever says anything. It's human nature for everyone to tell one person something they're not supposed to tell anyone, and then they tell one person when you tell them not to tell anyone, and then they tell one person. That's how things get around. So it sure seems like that's what's going on. I was told it's a safe bet. He's going to be picking the Steelers. At this point, who else would it be unless he waits to see if J.J. McCarthy face plants for the Vikings or just decides to wait and see if a quarterback on a Super Bowl contender suffers a serious season-ending injury at some point between now and whenever. So it sure feels like the Steelers, and it feels like typical Aaron Rodgers to not know when it's going to happen.
Mike, I will say, though, you have led the charge on Pro Football Talk. You've kind of responded to, I think, taking the temperature of Steelers fans via a poll question. You've definitely led the charge of, hey, Steelers fans, you might not like this, but you know, it's kind of like learn to eat your vegetables. You should like it because it's going to be better than you think. Just what has you convinced that Rodgers can still succeed at a level maybe previous Steelers quarterbacks post Roethlisberger have not succeeded if he does come here?
Because those quarterbacks post Roethlisberger have not done very well. And even though Rodgers isn't as mobile as he used to be, he still has an incredible arm that is able to generate force, velocity, accuracy on the football. He's got a way of throwing the ball that makes a sound that people haven't heard from other people who throw the football. And to the extent there are any misgivings about Rodgers internally, the moment he walks out on the field and throws one pass, those are gone. And once he starts playing games and winning games, now there's no guarantee the Steelers are automatically going to become a Super Bowl contender, but they'll at least be as relevant as they've been in recent years. How could they not be when they've been relevant with subpar quarterback play? And that's why I think the wins will change people's minds. And the best example, and I know it's unpopular to say this in Pittsburgh now because it's 15 years later, but when all that stuff was going down with Roethlisberger in Georgia in 2010, I mean, God, I tuned into some show then. I'm not sure whether it was this station or a different one, but my God, it was like Big Ben gripe fest, and people were calling in with every complaint under the sun, and everybody was coming out of the woodwork and they were going to trade him, and it was awful. And then they got to the Super Bowl that year and it was never discussed again. It was just gone. So any doubts about Rodgers, it's fine to have them. It's not abnormal. But once he starts playing and once he starts winning, they're all going to go away. The flip side, though, is if they don't win, they're not going to go away.
How do you think he and Mike Tomlin will coexist? Because that's two big egos, and I don't know where you come down on this. No one can convince me that Robert Saleh did not lose his job because Aaron Rodgers wanted him to lose his job, or was at least one of the people who did not want to have Robert Saleh as the head coach anymore. Mike Tomlin is not Robert Saleh in terms of his standing in the NFL, not close to it, obviously. How do you think that will actually work with those two as far as getting along and playing nice together?
Hey, you make a great point. After Saleh was fired, Rodgers was never really asked any tough questions about it by the rough and tumble New York media, and they got mad at me for pointing it out. It's like, use some of that on him. That's good. Get mad. Ask him pointed questions. What did he know? When did he know it? Why aren't you saying, I'm upset that my coach is gone? It's going to derail our season. How do we come back from this? So I agree with you that there was something weird about it. I don't know that he wanted him out, but he sure didn't act like somebody who wanted him to stay. I think that Tomlin understands how to deal with Rodgers for at least 1 year. And I think Rodgers realizes things aren't looking good for him post-Packers. He needs, and there's like a mutual benefit that flows from this. Tomlin needs to get to the playoffs and win at least one game. Rodgers needs to finish his career with a team that gets to the playoffs. He hasn't been there since 2021. He hasn't been there since 2021. You can't walk off into the sunset. You're limping off into the sunset if you go 4, 5, 6 years without getting to the postseason to cap your career. So they need each other. That's why they're going to get along. They need each other at this point.
Do you think if they did do that, they got to a playoff appearance, wild card game, and they won it, and then who cares about, you know, they get crushed in the next round, so what? Do you think that would be viewed by most people broadly, nationally, now forget about Pittsburgh, as a successful year if they win a singular playoff game together?
Yes, unless they have like the one seed or, you know, they're regarded as one of the top teams and they're favored in the divisional round game and they lose that. I think how you go out becomes important to what was expected when we get to January. So, you know, if they do what they've been doing the past decade, fighting, scratching, clawing, getting to the playoffs, and win a wild card game. Hey, we did better with Aaron Rodgers than we've otherwise done. It doesn't put out the fire. It just delays it. But it would be relative to what we've seen since they beat the Chiefs on that Sunday game that was moved from afternoon to evening because of an ice storm and sparked the Chiefs to say, enough.
We need Patrick Mahomes. Right.
Right. That was the trigger game for, you know, multiple Super Bowl championships. But yeah, I think that if it's like what we've seen since that night, it is a success relative to recent performance.
Mike, Russell Wilson, obviously with the Giants now, a deal that could pay him up to $21 million if he hits a bunch of incentives. Instantly the funniest quarterback room in the league, putting he and Jameis Winston together for those pregame speeches with Tommy Cutlets potentially in the background doing his usual gesticulations. Do you get the sense from people you've talked to that the Giants got sick of waiting for Rodgers, or that they found out that Rodgers really had no interest? Like, how did that go down where they just made the decision, all right, we're going to move on to Wilson? Was it entirely Rodgers told them thanks but no thanks, or they just got tired of playing the waiting game?
I think there was an urgency. I haven't heard this, but I think common sense suggests there was an urgency that was beginning to kick in and they needed to do something. There was a desperation. Chris Sims, who does PFT Live with me, grew up a Giants fan. His dad is Phil Sims, and that's understandable. And we'd talk about it on our show, and he's like, yes, I'm very nervous. We have one guy under contract. It's Tommy DeVito. I don't know what we're doing. I don't know what we're thinking about doing. And the Jameis Winston Monday, or Friday, excuse me, and then Russell Wilson on Tuesday, those two moves take some of the steam out of it. It does give them a chance to evaluate the quarterback class in the draft a little more objectively without bias, without rooting for, hey, we really need to like a quarterback with number three because we don't have any. But you're right, it creates a very intriguing quarterback room. And you've got one guy who has evolved to a point where he is notoriously authentic. He always is who he is. He says what he says, and he never pretends to be anybody other than who he is. And then you got the other guy who is never himself. It's always hidden. He's always playing the role of how an NFL quarterback should act. And I don't know that it ends well for Russell Wilson. Unless he plays better than he played last year. And I wrote this today at PFT. Did the Giants just like not talk to the Steelers? Did they not pay attention to what happened last year?
I know.
Down the stretch, five straight losses, average margin of 13.2 points in those games. Did they not do any homework? Remember last year, Mike Tomlin was very proud of the fact that he didn't do any homework with the Broncos. Remember when he was asked that question? He was almost kind of upset that he was asked that question. Like, why didn't the Giants? These teams are connected. Why didn't the Giants make a few phone calls? And if they did, why did they sign this guy?
I mean, I don't think either guy is a great player by any stretch, but I think Winston offers more to a team than Wilson does. But I will say this, Mike, by way of continuing this Wilson conversation and spinning it back to the Steelers, they ought to hope that he plays great and holds off Winston all year and hits some of these incentives, because they could be looking at now with Wilson, with Fields, with Dan Moore, suddenly a boatload of pretty nice comp picks in that 2026 draft. That's the other kind of thing that people here are now starting to pay a lot of attention to, that they could be gearing up with a lot of capital to make a big quarterback move in next year's draft in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, look, it's a complicated formula that nobody seems to truly understand, including the NFL. For the past couple of years, they put out the initial slate of compensatory picks, and then a few days later, they have to say, oh, wait, oh, we got it wrong. We got to move them around.
Wonderful system they've got there.
I don't know. I haven't even tried to figure out how that works, but generally, if you lose more than you sign during the relative window and it's unrestricted free agents whose contracts expired elsewhere, yes, if you lose more than you signed, you're going to come away with some picks, and it's going to help you the next year in the draft. And given that all they've done is sign Mason Rudolph, who would, you know, I mean, his contract comparable to Jameis Winston. So, well, wait a minute, I got my quarterback screwed up. Regardless, they've added Mason Rudolph as an unrestricted free agent and lost Fields and Wilson. So there's a balance there, and it gets more complicated, and it makes your brain melt as I'm making my own melt as I talk about
it. Well, I want to leave you with this, because, you know, Mike, my favorite thing to do is ask you about some sort of maybe potentially arcane thing in the league, but something that I feel like is right up your alley. I saw on PFT today that onside kicks back at any time or at any time are back as a proposal. As you pointed out, the Chiefs getting killed in the Super Bowl, they can't even execute one until the fourth quarter by the rules, and so now that might be back on the table. My question is actually this, though. Why isn't that movement for a 4th-and-15 play from inside your own territory to keep the ball if you convert? Why does that never pick up more steam? Because I feel like a lot of football fans would rather see a football play than an onside. I'm not saying an onside kick isn't a football play, but you know what I mean. It's something where the offense and the defense are duking it out and not a very specialized unit attempting a very specialized kind of play.
Years ago, when the NFL was getting ready to stage the Super Bowl at MetLife Stadium, Roger Goodell was making the rounds, and he met with CNBC, and they asked him, who do you root for? And he said, I root for the team that's trailing, which makes sense. You want an exciting game. You don't want people to change the channel or not care. And so you give devices to the team that's trailing so that they can get back into the game. So I'm with you. I don't know why they haven't gone down this path. There's talk about it. It never goes anywhere. There's no proposal for it this year. In past years, there's been a proposal. Competition committee didn't go there. None of the teams went there. The UFL is changing theirs a little bit this year as it relates to the opportunity to try to close that gap and come from behind. And I think it's something that the NFL does need to consider, because the onside kick is a dead play. And it makes it very, very difficult for the team that's trailing to retain possession. And there are unintended consequences of the 4th-and-15 play, or at least foreseeable consequences if they would bother to sit down and brainstorm all the things that could go haywire. But it at least allows the team that's trailing a real opportunity to maintain possession of the ball. And it feels like the onside kick no longer does that, at least not very much.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, PFT Live. Always appreciate it, Mike. Talk again next week.
Order your Rodgers jerseys. Oh, get ready.
Here, 8, right? He won't get 12. They won't give him 12. They wouldn't do that to Terry Bradshaw.
Right. Oh, and he specifically refused to take Joe Namath's number. Namath was offering it to him, so he won't do that. If 8's available, he'll be 8 again.
Mike, we'll talk again next week. Thank you.
See you, buddy.